Me, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 that are on the screen if you can see it. If not, I'll give you a moment to find it in your Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul writes, together now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul touches on a key to the Christian life, and that is a transformed life. He begins there in verse 1 by imploring us to live holy lives, lives that have been totally given over to God. In light of what God has done for us in saving us, in light of the total sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, in light of God in His grace forgiving us, justifying us, making us, declaring us to be righteous, and adopting us into His family, in light of all of that, He says, I beseech you, I urge you, I implore you to a certain course of action. And that course of action is to give ourselves totally to God. To live a transformed life, to be changed from what we were to something new that God wants us to be. On the Mount of Transfiguration, if you recall, Jesus took three of His disciples, went up on the mountain, and the Bible says He was transformed. He was transfigured, same word, in front of them. That is, the disciples saw Jesus change from the form of a man to the very form of God. And when God saved you, He not only changed your destiny. And listen, that's where too many of us as Christians get hung up. We think salvation is all about a change of destiny. When God saved you, He not only changed your destiny, He changed you. And the apostle said, because God changed you, don't any longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And look what he says at the end of verse 1. That's reasonable. It's a reasonable request from God. It is, in fact, a reasonable demand from God to present ourselves and to be transformed from what we were to what God wants us to be. And it begins by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, what does a living sacrifice look like? We all know what an animal sacrifice looks like. In the Old Testament, they made animal sacrifices, and we have a pretty good idea of what that looks like. Here in verse 2, he tells us that a living sacrifice is someone who is not conformed to the belief systems and the philosophies and the habits and the thought patterns and the reactions and the standards and the lifestyle of the world around us, but is completely and totally transformed in every area of life to live like God lives. That's what it means to be transformed, and that is what God expects from each of us. In another of his writings, the Apostle Paul delves deeper into this idea of a transformed life, and that's what we're going to look at over the next several weeks. Would you take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Colossians? We're going to begin a study this morning in the book of Colossians, which is a book about transformed lives. It will tell us what a transformed life looks like. It will tell us how we can have a transformed life. So in this series on the book of Colossians, we're going to be looking at transformed by Jesus to live like Jesus. That's what the book of Colossians is all about. It's about being transformed, but there is more. Because you have been transformed, the way you live is to be transformed. Now think of it this way. We all believe that when we are saved, we are transformed as a person. You are transformed from this type of person to another type of person. But that automatically means that everything about this new person has been transformed. The way you live is to be transformed. Jesus doesn't just transform us. He transforms us for a reason. And that is so we can live as transformed people. And that's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see people who have been changed by the grace of God. The world needs to see Christians who have been transformed by the grace of God. And the question for all of us this morning is, are they seeing that? Is the world seeing people who have been transformed in every area of life, in every aspect of life? Is the world seeing people who have been transformed by the grace of God? And if not, why not? Here in Colossians chapter 1, the apostle begins this letter by showing us what a transformed person looks like. And that will take us all the way up through verse 14. And so we're going to divide the first 14 chapters or verses into two parts this Sunday and then in a following message. And so this morning we're going to look at a transformed life, the first part, up through verse 8. Now Paul begins his letter with a brief introduction in verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very similar greeting that Paul uses in, I believe, every one of his 13 epistles. He introduces himself and he makes it clear that it was God who called him to be an apostle. Now, the word apostle simply means someone who has been sent with a message. And so Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus. The message that he had was the message of Jesus. It was about his death and his resurrection and what that means for us. Now, by introducing himself this way, Paul is saying, listen, I'm writing with some authority. My authority as an apostle comes from Jesus. What he gives us in this book is not based upon his own authority or who he is or his own ideas or his own message. His message is about Jesus and it has the authority of Jesus behind it. So when we open the Word of God, we read that same message, and it has that same authority. These words that we will read and we will examine over the next number of weeks are not our words. They are not our ideas. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That is, all Scripture has been breathed out by the very breath of God. And so as we begin our study here in the book of Colossians, we are delving into God's message for us. Now, secondly, Paul mentions Timothy. He introduces Timothy. By the way, neither Paul or Timothy have ever visited this church. They are strangers to this church. We're going to meet a man over in verse 8 by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras started this church. And so Paul introduces himself. He introduces Timothy as his assistant, someone who worked with Paul in the ministry. And then in verse 2, he tells us who he is writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So we know that this letter was sent to the church in Colossae. This was one of the early churches in what is today the country of Turkey. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very, very familiar greeting, one that Paul used often. And as he begins now, the body of the letter, after this introduction, the apostle thanked God for these believers. And he thanks God specifically for their transformed lives. In verses 3 through 8, Paul identifies six things that relate to a transformed life. These six qualities are going to tell you whether or not you are living a transformed life. And so we are going to look at the qualities of a transformed life. If you want to know what a transformed life looks like, here are six things that will tell you. Here are six things that will be evident in your life. The first quality is a living faith. Verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The Christian life begins with faith. It begins when you receive the gift of salvation that God has offered to you. But it doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. The Christian life not only begins by faith, it is to be lived by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is, what class? Impossible to please God. And then, over in Hebrews 11, the writer lists two aspects of faith that please God. The first is a saving faith. The one who comes to God must believe that He is. When you come to God, you must believe that He exists. You must believe that He is the God of the Bible, the God who can save you. And then secondly, he talks there in Hebrews 11:6 about a living faith. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, that not only refers to seeking Him in salvation, but based on the context then of Hebrews 11, where He gives you examples of people who were seeking God, it shows the faith of the patriarchs as they lived out their faith. So God is a rewarder of those who seek Him in living out their faith. A transformed life will be a life that lives in faith, trusting God in every circumstance of life, every day, all day. And so the first thing that Paul identifies here among these Colossian Christians is that they had a living faith. The second thing that Paul identifies about these people is that they had an unreserved love. He thanked God for their faith, and then he thanks God for their love. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. That was number one. Number two, and of your love for all the saints. Now, we all know that we're to love each other. We also know that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy for you to love me. It's not easy sometimes for me to love you. It's not easy for us to love each other. But when your life has been transformed, when you are living a transformed life, you'll not only be able to love other Christians, you will want to love other Christians. John wrote in John 13, a new commandment I give you. Jesus is speaking here. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. What do you think God wants us to do? Love one another. He said it three times in that short statement. One writer put it this way. A distinguishing mark of being a follower of Christ is a deep, sincere love for brothers and sisters in Christ. We are identified as Christians not by the church we go to, not by the songs we sing. We are identified as Christians by our love for each other. Jesus said that we are to love each other as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved us? He loves us unconditionally. He loves us sacrificially. He loves us unreservedly. He loves us eternally. That is how we are to love each other. You know that you are living a transformed life when you can love other Christians without reservation. Of course, the opposite is true. You know that you're not living a transformed life when you can't love other Christians without reservation.